Rome's Gregorian University on Thursday hosted an ecumenical conference marking the centenary of the birth of Dutch Cardinal Johannes Willebrands. A key figure at the Second Vatican Council and one of the main promoters of the Catholic Church's opening to other Christian traditions, Willebrands died in 2006 at the age of 96, at that time the oldest member of the College of Cardinals. Archbishop of Utrecht from 1975 to 1983, he's best remembered as a skilled diplomat with a sharp sense of humour who pioneered the Church's efforts at reconciliation amongst the divided Christian communities.
I think he might be just a little bit disillusioned that the fact is that one whole generation of ecumenists has disappeared, and where is the next generation coming from? How are they being formed? Where are they being formed?
Father Jim Puglisi is Minister General of the Franciscan Friars of the Atonement and Director of the Centro Pro Unione here in Rome. Together with the Gregorian University and the Vatican's Council for Christian Unity, his centre helped organise the colloquium on Cardinal Willebrands. I asked him what he hopes such a conference can achieve.
I hope that, first of all, students are coming new to ecumenism, because here in Rome, you know, at the universities, we have many students who don't come from Europe. They come from other parts of the world, from Latin America, from Asia, and from Africa, and who might not know this part of our history, ecumenical history, that we present a person like Cardinal Willebrands, a person who was courageous, a person who lived through many changes in the Church. We have 100 years, you see, and he lived through some of the most challenging, when you think of the wars that he lived through as a young person, through the beginnings of the ecumenical movement in the beginning of the 1900s, to the formation of the World Council of Churches, to the preparation for the Second Vatican Council, and then for this wonderful job that he did at the Pontifical Council for Promoting Christian Unity. That this is the person and also the values that I think young students, young ecumenists, budding ecumenists, if you want to call them that, need to emulate in their life. So this symposium not only remembers him as a person, but also the values that he brought to the whole ecumenical discussion, and also demonstrates the patience that one needs to have to work in this field, and also the expertise that one needs to have.
What do you think was it that gave him such inspiration, beginning at a time when ecumenism just simply wasn't on the Catholic agenda?
Probably being Dutch. He came from a church that had some very conservative roots, but at the same time were a people that wanted to explore, to experiment. Don't forget, they were great sailors, they were great navigators and explorers as far away as Indonesia, the United States of America. My state, New York, was New Amsterdam. It was a Dutch foundation. That there is this sense of exploration, because, you know, they live in a little country that has very tight boundaries about them, the sea on one side and other countries around them, so they have to find creative ways to go forward and to develop. And I think this was part of the spirit, which I call the Dutch spirit, that was there. And we think of some great theologians like Schillebeck and others who did this, but a lot of people who were involved in the ecumenical movement came from Holland. When you think of the first Secretary General of the World Council of Churches, Visser-Tooftes, was Dutch as well. A good number of the great people at the council were either Dutch or Belgian. So they had the same spirit of exploration from the Low Countries, if you want. And I think that's one of the things that contributes to that, plus his own academic formation. He was very much involved in studying systematic theology and then even forming an ecumenical society before it could really be. It had a name which was kind of strange. It was for confutation of errors, you know. The original was more apologetic, but then he transformed it into something which was more creative. And this was, I guess, because of the great discoveries that we had in the biblical field, patristic and liturgical fields, and he was very much conversant in all three of those.
You worked very closely with him, didn't you, right up to the end of his life at the centre. How do you remember him best as a person, if you had to paint a picture of this great man?
We had an informal relationship because the centro was independent of the Pontifical Council, but we did many things together, or he asked us to do things that the council really couldn't do, and so we were very happy to supply that. I remember him, we went just before he was leaving. The son of one of our secretaries came with me to pack up some of his library that he was donating to the centro. And he always had this twinkle in his eye that I always remember that, and always was had a very good sense of humor. And as we were packing it up, he said, well, there goes a certain part of me. I guess I'll have to remember what I can retain in my own head and maybe from some people who remind me of the things that I used to know. And he was giving us a good part of his library for the centro. And the parts that were double, he said, well, you can give them away to places that need them. So very valuable materials that he gave us that we could share to seminaries, which were in other parts of the world. He was a man that had a quick sense of humor, a man who loved sports, who loved to meet people. He loved to engage in any kind of conversation. I remember with the wife of the first director of the Anglican Center, Irina Finlow, he knew that one of the difficult things that he would have to do is to deal with the Russian church, which was still under the Soviet domination. And he said, I can't rely on their translators, so I need to learn some Russian. So he went to Irene and he said, teach me Russian. So this is a Russo-Anglican Catholic dialogue, he said. So the other thing I remember finally is he was also the titular bishop of the churches of St. Cosmas and Damian, which is a Franciscan community there, the Third Order Regular. And on the feast of St. Cosmas and Damian, September, we always had a dinner there, and he'd be there and he'd always bring a box of cigars. That was a hallmark of his. He liked his good after-dinner drinks and his cigar.
My thanks there to Franciscan Father Jim Puglisi, director of the Centro Pro Unione here in Rome. Among the other key speakers at the colloquium were the head of the Vatican's Council for Christian Unity, Cardinal Walter Kasper, and the Archbishop of Canterbury, Dr. Rowan Williams, who will be meeting with Pope Benedict in the Vatican on Saturday. You can hear more details and interviews on our news and feature programmes over the coming days.